Thank you, Miss Anne Marie, and open your Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Genesis, chapter 12. I asked you to continue to remember in prayer also tonight and throughout the week, Miss Pam Friedline and Di Hayward, as they deal with the homegoing of their sister, and then Brother Mickey Pierce, who's mother passed away last Friday night, and the funeral was this past Monday. If you have not sent a card or a note to him, it would be a blessing for you to do so. And we know that many of you are so faithful to do those things. Now, if you've opened your Bible to Genesis chapter 12, stand if you will, please. And we shall read just three verses for the foundation of our message tonight. Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now notice verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, there's two important things that I want to point out here in verse number 3. Number one is the covenant God made with Abraham concerning Abraham's descendants, and particularly Jacob's descendants, which became the nation of Israel. And he said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. Now, in our new Reformed theology that's going around today in many religions, they say that the church has replaced Israel. Well, I'm not a proponent of the Reformed theology. I do not believe the church has replaced Israel in God's plan. Yes, the church is recipient of a special place and a special blessing in God's plan, but it didn't come about just because Israel rejected the Messiah. So please understand that. And when you hear people start cursing Israel and cursing the Jew and cursing our friendship as a nation and support of them, remember this verse, and it's repeated several different times throughout the remainder of the Bible. That covenant relationship has never been done away with by God. God still says He'll bless them that bless Israel, and He'll curse them that curse Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be on the blessing side of God, not the cursing side of God. And that cursing did not mean that God would call you some names. It meant that He would pour out His judgment and wrath upon the people that hate Israel and the descendants of Abraham, referring particularly to Israel and the descendants of Jacob. But that's not my message tonight. That's just in the verse that I wanted to use. Notice verse number 3. And in thee, in Abraham, and Abraham's seed, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, all families, all peoples, and all nations. All families, all peoples, and all nations. You'll get the gist of this and what God is speaking about here and referring to in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the privilege of standing up and preaching and teaching the Word of God. Now, Lord, what I'm going to do tonight is not going to be a dynamic, super interesting message that'll thrill our hearts. But it's going to be a very informative message and a very needed message, and one with biblical truth and prophecy rolled up into one, bringing us to the reality of our day concerning Your love for the redeemed and Your provision for souls and who they are. Who are they? Who should we be going after? Now, Lord, give me liberty to preach and clarity of thinking and the ability to say those things without hindrance and without stuttering as You speak to my heart. I love You. I thank You for Jesus, for the Word of God, for the Holy Spirit, and for the privilege, dear God, of serving You in these very important days. Thank You for our faithful people who come out to be in their place to learn, to grow, to hear Your Word, that they might become more and more like You. Now help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Down through human history, there have been those who believe the provisions of God through Jesus Christ are limited to only a certain group of people. Some have said it was only for the Jews. I've heard people take the text of the Scripture that where He said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and use that as a means that all of our evangelism should be there. Well, I want you to know that's not what God is saying. That's not His heart. That's not His plan. That's not His provision. And that's not His Word. There are others that say that the work of Christ was only for elect group, an elect group that were decided before the foundation of the world. Just a certain elect group that would become the redeemed. And that was decided before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't believe that. Again, I don't believe that's the teaching of Scripture. I don't believe that's the promise of Christ. I don't believe that is what He has said to Abraham. And I don't believe that the Bible means that by any means. I think that we can become part of the elect. But I don't think the elect was decided before the foundation of the world. And then there are others who have been so bold as to think that just the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aryans were the chosen and superior race of people. But anybody starting putting themselves in a particular group of people that are the only recipients of God's love and grace are as idiotic and stupid as the leader of the Aryans, which is Adolf Hitler. Even in more recent generations, there are those who think that all of God's plans were for the white Americans and excluded the blacks and the Jews. And that's heresy. That's not Bible. That's not the heart of God, the mind of God, or the will of God. That's not the teachings of Scripture. Now, in these recent days, we have seen a resurgence of some things that we need to be aware of. It comes to us under the headings of covenant theology, Reformed theology, the sovereign grace movement, and some of this is being sucked up by Baptist seminaries and Baptist colleges and Baptist groups today. It's heresy. May I say to you that the great proponents of Calvinism have been haters of Bible-believing Baptists down through the years? You do understand John Calvin that established the Presbyterian church and religion persecuted Baptists. You do understand that Martin Luther, the leader of the Reformation, of which Baptist was never a part, persecuted, imprisoned, and even had Baptists killed. And this is beginning to come alive again. And people who don't know the Scripture or think they're super spiritual adopt this covenant theology or Reformed theology or Calvinist theology or sovereign grace theology. And it's even being adapted and accepted by some Baptist seminaries and Baptist colleges and even Baptist pastors in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. All that I have mentioned and much more is fantasy and foolishness from certain groups of people that seem to know nothing about the blessed Word of God or the eternal plan of God. From the very beginning and throughout human history, when God revealed His heart, His mind, concerning His eternal plan for the human race, it was never limited to a certain race or a limited group of people. From the very beginning, when God promised redemption the first time, it was just a general promise of redemption through the seed of the woman, how that it would bruise the head of the serpent. But as God goes on, He begins to reveal more and more of His plan and His will. And it is important for us to understand that Abraham is a major player chosen by God in bringing to pass His will and revealing His will. For instance, Abraham, long before the law, long before the nation of Israel had ever been established, long before the Hebrew race came into existence, Abraham, the Bible says, was saved by faith. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So, and by the way, everybody since Abraham who have believed God's promise of salvation by faith and has accepted God's provision have been called children of Abraham. Children of Abraham. Now, from the very beginning through human history, when God revealed his heart, he always spoke about all families, all nations, all peoples. Now let me stop and say there that some people have taken that and gone into heresy also. So because they take that fact and say that it teaches universal salvation. And that's not the Bible case at all either. That's not biblical truth either. And we need to realize that just as all became sinners in Adam, all can be made alive through Jesus Christ. All can be saved. Anyone can be saved. The provision has been made, and it is sufficient to save all families, all nations, all people. But it is efficient to salvation to only those that believe. When God spoke about his plan and his will in the Old Testament, he used these following phrases. Genesis 12:3, I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, if you know anything about prophecy, God was looking down the line, the family tree of Abraham, and he sees Jacob, and he sees Judah, and he sees David and Solomon, and he sees the Virgin Mary and Jesus, who is the Son of God, who died for our sins. And that prophecy is pointing to Jesus Christ and his redemptive work for us. So he said, all families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 22:18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Psalm 72:17, his name shall endure forever. If you're afraid that the name of Jesus is going to be banned from the earth, it's going to leave the lips of man, there'll never be anyone there to cry it out till Jesus comes. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, S-U-N. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. So God's plan here is all families of the earth, all nations of the earth, all people of the earth. Then we come to the New Testament. The Lord builds on all nations and all families of the Old Testament and states his plan and will again for us. For instance, in Isaiah 56 in the Old Testament, God speaks through his prophet these words, even then will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. An house of prayer for all people. Now we go to the New Testament, and when Jesus was driving the money changers out of the temple, he quoted from Isaiah 56:7, and in Mark 11:17, Jesus said it this way, and he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And in the margin, it goes back to Isaiah 56 and refers to a house of prayer for all nations. So even in our prayer, God's plan from the very beginning was that His redemptive promise would not be for just a select group of elect determined before the foundation of the world. It would not be just for one particular race of people to the exclusion of all other races of people. God's plan from the very beginning has been described as all nations, all families, and all people. Now, I'm sure glad that's the case, because it would be able to trace that down to the Hebrew nation, which would leave us in a world of hurt tonight because we're a bunch of Gentiles. But oh, thank God, in Jesus we've been grafted in and we're made a part of the all nations and all peoples and all families. Now, when the Lord established the church and gave to us His great commission, He continued to reveal His plan for all nations, all peoples, and all families. No one is excluded from God's plan of redemption for sinners or from being a part of His plan for His church because of race or color. You're not excluded if you were born in some distant part of the world. Listen once again to the Lord Jesus as He gives to us the Great Commission, the five different times stated in the Scripture. And by the way, this is not one time spoken, written five different ways. He spoke the Great Commission five different times in five different places. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Now, the getting saved part of that great commission is in verse number 19 when He says, Go therefore and teach all nations. That word teach there is to evangelize, to win them to Jesus Christ. He didn't say to go to a certain group only. He didn't say to go to a certain color only. He didn't say to look and ask people if you're part of the elect. He said just go and preach the gospel to all nations. The most detailed form of the Great Commission is Matthew 28. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 is the simplest, most concise presentation of the Great Commission. And Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you'll hear some Calvinists say, and some who believe in only a certain predetermined elect. He said, Well, God just wants to be fair and give everybody a chance. Well, how are you giving somebody a chance if it's already been decided? He said, I want every creature to have the opportunity. I want them to hear and have the opportunity to be saved. Luke 24, verse 46 and 47. And Jesus said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. There it is again. The only place where all nations or everybody is not mentioned or referred to is in the presentation in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, Receive you the Holy Ghost. And then the last time it's spoken by our Lord is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There's not one country, or one color, or one race, or one family left out of that Great Commission. God has not one time changed his mind or changed his plan concerning salvation for lost sinners through Jesus Christ. It has always been for all families, all people, and for all nations. And Peter and John speaking to the crowd that gathered outside the beautiful gate when the lame man was healed and saved, said, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away everyone from his iniquities." Paul preached it in Galatians 3:8. And he said in the scripture, "Foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." So here, it's being reaffirmed now again in the New Testament by Peter, by John, by Paul, that God's plan has not changed. It's still all nations, all peoples, all families. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and we must not limit his work to just and make it available just to a certain few. God's heart is as big as the world. And God's plan on the old rugged cross and his provision on the old rugged cross was as big as the world. Let's not make smaller what God has already stated in his word. Someone said, "Well, God didn't mean that." Well, God's God, why didn't he say what he meant? He did. He did. Then may I say, thirdly, Paul let us know plainly that the gospel of Christ was so powerful that it could save anyone and everyone who truly believed Christ as their Savior. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now keep in mind, this is being said to the Romans. In Rome, to the Romans. The ones that were there to aid in the crucifixion of Jesus. A pagan country, not a Jewish country, a heathen country. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now the message of the New Testament uses the powerful word "whosoever" when speaking about the salvation provided for our great God. Jesus said in John 3, verse 15 and 16, "For whosoever," that means anybody of all peoples, of all families, of all nations, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Notice that "whosoever" does not take away from our human responsibility to choose to put our trust and faith in Christ Jesus alone. We must decide that we're going to believe upon him. We're going to trust him. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth," there's our responsibility, "in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Acts 2:21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Peter's preaching. "Whosoever," Romans 10:13, "for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then in the last book, in just 5 verses from the close of the canon of Scripture, the last words of Jesus spoken says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will," whosoever will what? Whosoever will believe, whosoever will call, whosoever will accept him, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then let me bring it on down to the end of the ages. even after the church age is over, and after the rapture has taken place, and all of the saved in the church age are with God in heaven, and the tribulation is taking place on the earth, and even though God has special plans in dealing with Israel during that time, He did not abandon His plan for all nations, all people, or all families. Revelation chapter 7, 9 and 10. Tribulations going on. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And if I'd read another verse or two, they'd ask, Who are these? Said, Thou knowest, these are those that came out of great tribulation. Who were they? Those that were saved out of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, during the great tribulation. Now let me stop here and emphasize the truth that God said in His letter to the Thessalonians, that if you've heard the gospel in the church age, and you did not accept Christ, and you go through the tribulation, you will be sent strong delusion that you might believe the lie and be damned. No second chances. No second chances for those who have had opportunity and did not accept. Now let me wind this up tonight. Let us leave here realizing in these last days, we do not have to be concerned whether or not we're talking to the right people. When we talk to people about Jesus, God's plan of redemption includes all nations, all peoples, all kindreds, all tongues, in our cities and unto the uttermost part of the world. God has not limited His provision as to who may accept it. His only limitation is to the way they come to God. And they must come to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, believing He died for their sins and was raised again for their justification. God makes it certain that we cannot go to a wrong person. We cannot knock on a wrong door. We cannot witness to a wrong race or to a wrong language. He died to provide free and eternal salvation to whosoever believeth, and whosoever shall call on His name. There are no barriers to the gospel except those we put up ourselves. Jesus said to all nations, to all families, and to all peoples, I know our church is a soul-winning church. I know you hear that theme over and over again from this pulpit and from staff members of this church and in teaching and from deacons and others. But we're not going to get to the place where it becomes a novelty or a sideline. It's our duty. It's our commission. It's our charter. It's the work God has given us to do. He has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. We're to go out and tell the lost who are at enmity with God about Jesus, and in Christ the enmity is done away. I brought this message tonight. I prepared it today simply because I did not want some of you to get caught up into this old stuff repackaged by a new name. Covenant theology and Reformed theology, which is nothing more than old Calvinism and Presbyterianism. It wasn't true then, and it's not true now. Jesus Christ died to save sinners. And our commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'll be honest with you. If I believe that Jesus only died for elect few, then I would be hypocritical going to tell those who don't have a chance about a salvation that they can never have. I can be assured, though, from the teachings of Scripture, when I go to a person and tell them about Jesus dying for our sins, that God is able and willing to save every one of them who will see their sinfulness and by faith receive Christ as their Savior. Don't you lose sight of that truth. Don't you give up on that truth. Don't you swallow that bunch of bait that the devil is putting there trying to get us off course. All nations, all people, all families can be blessed because of Jesus Christ. Father, that's our message tonight. We thank you, thank you, thank you